From Ferranda's Banquet Center in DeKalb, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 19th day of December. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Mike Tenor will join us to take a look at the weather forecast here and in South America. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. And Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net will join us on this edition of the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Look us up, listen to us on demand at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, including the opening market report, the closing market report, everything in between, and Commodity Week. We'll record that this afternoon, post it to our website this evening. You'll hear it on our home station tomorrow and on many of these radio stations over the weekend. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what's happened in the world of agricultural markets across the planet. It all comes to you from Illinois Public Media and WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us. You and I are recording early today, so I don't have an update of quite where the market settled. However, you probably have a pretty good idea of what happened in the last week. As we're going into the end of last week, you thought things looked pretty good technically, or had the opportunity to close that week out. How did things finish up, and what do you see this week?
Well, this week so far, we did extend that reversal to the upside that we talked about last week on the daily chart, which turned into a weekly reversal, and we have extended that. So we did see some follow through on that. But now we're at the point where a lot of your daily indicators are flashing overbought technical conditions. So we're kind of entering what I would call more of a consolidation phase. We kind of got a mixed market here today as we talk. We got beans down a few pennies, and we got corn and wheat up a little bit. So I think, you know, we're probably due. It wouldn't surprise me, let's say, is that we spend consolidation for the rest of this week. Maybe it goes on into next week. And next week, you know, you start getting into a shortened week because of Christmas, and then the following week you get into the New Year's short week. So we're going to have volume is really going to slow down during the next couple of weeks. Since we do have Christmas and New Year's kind of in the middle of the week, there's going to be a lot of traders kind of take both those weeks off. So But nowadays, a lot of people trade from their mobile phone or their laptop at home. So trading activity the volume levels could be halfway decent. But things are going to slow down a little bit as people start spending time with their Christmas and entertainment and all this kind of business. But, you know, the month, we still have the month to go, but I kind of like what I see on the monthly chart. Especially when you look at some lead futures contracts, you can kind of get a little optimistic that maybe the worst is behind us, at least for now, on the downside. Now, word of caution, I mean, some of my timing indicators that I use for short-term tops, I'm kind of in a window here from December 18th through January 15th, and, you know, kind of the date to kind of be careful about is actually Christmas, and of course the markets will be closed on Christmas. So I think we could put in a short-term top in here by next week or the early part of the following week. and then we kind of maybe have some kind of a setback. And then we're kind of going to, you know, once we get into the new year, then everybody's going to have their hands in their pockets, waiting around for USDA's final production estimate and December 1st stocks report. But, you know, demand has definitely improved. The China situation, definitely China is active in the soybean market. You can kind of see that by our export sales levels here today. So I think on the trade front, things are improving. But we got a lot of inventory around. We got a lot of inventory that needs to be priced one way or the other. We still have inventory in the field. Like I mentioned on Commodity Work Week, the last time I was on Commodity Week, I kind of thought we would have, you know, kind of an early winter high. Then we could maybe sink into a late winter, early spring type low. And then we'll kind of take it from there. As how the growing season unfolds, how planting season unfolds, and then the weather. So I do think that one has to be on guard for a short-term high or intermediate high anytime in here over the next 2 to 3 to 4 weeks. Then I would expect softness through the rest of the winter. And then I look for the summer to be generally positive, and I think the market can strengthen, you know, into a late summer, early fall high. So we'll just have to kind of take one day at a time on that. But short term here, my work would indicate that if you've got some sales to make, you need to be watching the market fairly closely.
Yeah, so I do have a question on that for sales to make, because there's an awful lot of corn, I believe, that will be under the March futures contract on a basis contract, that is, with expiration in that March. So they'll have to come off, I think, sometime in February probably. Producers need to move that sooner rather than later in your expectation?
I would say yes. I would be more inclined.
Can I say asking for a friend as well?
Yeah. I would say, you know, you got to be awful careful in here. We've had a nice run. The technical conditions are overbought. But I would say you probably have up through the first 10 days of January to make that decision. I don't know what to think of the January crop report. I don't have a lot of faith in reports. And then especially with this year, when we have a lot of inventory that's sitting out in the field yet. So I just don't know how that is going to play out in the marketplace. But yes, starting in February, the pressure is going to be on. The whole world's going to know that farmers are on those basis contracts on March. And, you know, when you're in the same room as everybody else, it's not going to be a fun experience. So I think those March basis contracts kind of need to get priced between now and mid-January. We could ride through the crop report. Maybe that might give us a little bit of a boost. You also kind of got to keep an eye on that South American weather. Maybe that might give us a boost. But if anything kind of comes along here that would give us a 10 to 15 cent surge in this corn market, I think that would be your clue to pull the trigger on that. Because if I'm thinking at the chart right, this little consolidation that we're kind of tracing out right now, if we could kind of stay in this range for a few days, maybe into first part of next week, and then maybe somewhere along the line start breaking out of that consolidation phase, that would indicate that we are getting ready for a 10 to 15 cent rally, and then that could come at us you know, as we go maybe toward the end of the year or the first part of next year, and that would be your clue, I think, to get generally aggressive on those March contracts, basis contracts, and then on a setback, and then if you wanted to re-own that price ownership on those contracts, maybe a call option or something might be more appropriate.
Anything on the soybeans that you've been watching closely?
Pretty much the same thing. Short term here, I think we're vulnerable. Pretty much as corn, it looks like to me corn and soybeans are pretty much in the same rhythm at the moment. Soybeans, I think, is a little more powerful commodity because I think if China does become an aggressive buyer, that is a little different situation, and we'll have a little more demand, export demand underneath that market. So the beans, if we kind of do the same thing, we consolidate here and then we kind of bust out of this consolidation phase. I mean, we could have a quick 30 to 40 cent pop. If that would occur, that would also be an opportunity to kind of squeeze the trigger on some inventory that you kind of want to maybe get rid of, or you need it for cash flow reasons before the March 1st time frame. I would be awful nervous holding inventory into the spring because I think quality problems, late winter harvest, and all this kind of stuff could, put the market under pressure sometime in the spring. So I would want to use any kind of, rallies here during the winter months to definitely kind of get my sales where I want to be. And then if I want to re-own it, then I would use weakness into the spring to kind of re-own it with options. And then we'll see what the summer growing season, how that plays out next year.
Hey, Dan, you have a great Christmas, a good new year, and we'll talk to you on the second day of January.
Same to you, and that's same to our listening audience. I wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
That's Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Well, on this Thursday, as usual, we're joined by Mike Tenura. He's a T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
Great being here, Todd. Thanks.
Well, let's start in the United States. There is still corn to come out, though I think some of it will just stay till the spring as it's trying to dry down. However, producers do like to go get it. Will they have an opportunity?
Well, there's an ideal stretch of weather that's starting up today and tomorrow, and that will continue right through Christmas and possibly all the way into next weekend. So 7 to 10 days of very mild and very dry weather. Temperatures will be way above normal once we get into the weekend and especially next week. High temperatures well into the 40s, maybe even some 50s in the southern Corn Belt, and low temperatures only in the 20s and 30s. So we'll be 10 to 20 degrees above normal across a pretty wide area. So that will certainly help producers get out in the field if they'd like to. The only exception would be in parts of Minnesota and the Dakotas. We still have a deep layer of snow, and even though the warm weather will also affect those areas, that snow will first have to melt, so we'll deal with muddiness for a while, and then we'll finally be able to get out there if we'd like, but it'll just be too muddy. And the mild pattern will last about 7 to 10 days, but after that, kind of back to normal, so they won't stay in this ideal scenario, and some rain follows once we get into next weekend.
Turn your attention to South America, your assessment of crops in both Brazil, Argentina, and, of course, in between.
Well, it's kind of a mixed story. You can look at all of these different areas and come up with reasons to say that things are looking real nice and also say, well, it's not quite ideal. Let's start in Argentina because it's a fairly straightforward story there. The southern growing areas are being afflicted by drought conditions, but in the northern areas, things are looking pretty good, because we've seen a lot of thunderstorms over the last several weeks and months. So kind of a dicey bag there. As we move forward, there will be some thunderstorms in those driest areas. One of the best chances is actually starting now, and that'll continue right through tomorrow. So we'll see 0.5 inch to 1 inch of rain, and that should help out with early corn and sunflower development, and also should allow soybean planting to pick back up, because that has been a problem to this point with soybean planting falling behind simply because it's too dry. We also have more rain in the forecast for Argentina in about 7 to 10 days. So the situation there is going to stabilize, but this only takes us into the very end of December. January is going to be important, and it's a little too early to think too hard about what the weather is going to do then. In Brazil, kind of a similar story, with some of the key central and southern areas having received some decent rainfall over the last couple of weeks. So you would say right off the bat, okay, first crop in corn and soybeans are doing pretty well. The only problem is that in the far northeastern areas and in the far southern areas, they've been missing out on some rain, and dry pockets are starting to show up. On top of that, the rain chances aren't all that ideal in these dry areas through the end of the month. So by the time you put it all together, we would just pretty much say it's a stable situation. Yes, the rains are helping out and certainly improving some of the wetter areas as we move forward, but we're also seeing these dry pockets hang on, and we really like to see more uniform rains. So just a mixed bag, and we'll have to wait into January to kind of get a better handle on yield potential. Though, of course, if it were completely dry or completely wet going forward, the story will be pretty straightforward. We're just kind of in a mix, though, unfortunately.
I suppose we'll talk with you again in January, and we'll figure that out, as next week, of course, is a holiday week, and we'll be taking the whole week off here at the Closing Market Report. Hey, thanks so much for being with us for the day.
Yeah, that sounds great, Todd. We'll talk to you in the new year.
That's Mike Tenuri. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world. One more of the Illinois Farm Economic Summit's coming up tomorrow at the I Hotel in Champaign, Illinois. We've got more than 260 already in the pre-registered mark there. But if you want to walk in, $90, show up about 7:45 a.m. It's the last one for the week. It's been a great show with the agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, the Farm Doc Daily team. And if you want to come and join us, you can tomorrow at the I Hotel. Now, Matt Bennett is on the line with us. He's a University of Illinois grad. Hey, Matt, thanks so much. I appreciate you being here. He's with agmarket.net. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon to you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
As we go into the end of the year, I'm wondering from a farmer's perspective, what are the things that you need to do before we get to January 1?
Well, you know, obviously everyone's trying to kind of get ready for taxes and whatnot. One thing I would definitely propose to a producer who potentially didn't get all the fertilizer on is to pay very close attention to fertilizer prices, in that they're as cheap as we've seen in quite some time. And so, some of the guys that we've talked to that, have spring programs sometimes, you know, they're actually getting those prices locked in. I'm not saying they're not going to go any lower, but it's probably a really good tax prep thing to do, first of all. Second of all, of course, know exactly what your plan's going to be after the first of the year, as far as your marketing goes. And so we all know that markets have rebounded just a little bit in here. There's some opportunities, and basis is still hung in there, quite admirably, which has really been nice to see. Given that, we need to pay very close attention.
What are your plans after that first of the year, or at least what have you been telling clients about that marketing plan for 2020?
You know, the thing is about old crop is that, with the old crop situation, I'm a little friendlier than what I am new crop. Of course, I think you're going to hit a bit of a brick wall with that new crop futures price, in that, you got a lot of acres that are coming to the mix. We know that there's going to be a lot more available acres, first of all, and second of all, most of your projections are showing anywhere from 93 to 95 or even more. And so old crop is a little bit different than that, though. In that old crop, in my opinion, I feel like we still have some adjustments to be made. You know, some of your firms are coming in anywhere from 25 to 100 million bushel smaller crop, given what we saw there in November, December. If that's the case, given the fact that I feel like USDA is light on usage still, to me, the balance sheet could tighten up quite a bit, especially if we see exports like we did today. First of all, and second of all, if China steps into the mix and buys corn, and the reason I would believe they do that is because they said it. You know, if it was us saying that, it'd be a little different story. But whenever they said they're interested in corn and wheat and pork and beef, I'm pretty excited about those particular commodities having the ability to sell some in China.
You know, those are the things that they repeated several times over that last week after the announcement came from the Trump administration and China that there would be some kind of phase one agreement. They didn't mention soybeans, by the way, which probably could be a concern, but we'll see how all of that pans out. I'm interested in the idea that you think there's some opportunities there going into that January crop production report. The marketplace generally knows or has a good idea of what they believe things will be like. It's when USDA surprises them that things happen, big changes in the marketplace happen. Are you of a mind that the marketplace hasn't built in these 100 million bushel changes?
I think the market's probably built that in. I'm not so sure that they're looking at, for instance, a number like feed and residual at 5.275. You know, being 343 million bushels below a year ago. I don't know that they're looking at that very closely, first of all. Second of all, moving on down the line, it's not going to happen in the January report, but we're certainly going to see, the efficiency of feeding low test weight corn and grinding low test weight corn for ethanol purposes. That's definitely going to rear its head as the year goes on. And so I think that the carryout you're looking at 1.9, I cannot see that growing. In fact, I could see it shrinking a fair amount. I think that begins in January and probably could manifest itself all the way into next September. But bottom line for me, it gives you a little bit of opportunity. Are we going to shock the market on production? Probably not, but we certainly could see a little bit of a surprise whenever it comes to usage.
We talked a little bit about this last week on Commodity Week, you and Elaine Cobb, Mike Suzzolo, J.P. Jones, and just having corn. Well, it may be there out of place because of the quality of the corn. What difference does that make across the whole of the Midwest?
Well, you know, the thing is that you've got just a major challenge on your hand. If you've got a lot of low test weight corn, for instance, the farther north that you go, because, most of your guys aren't going to want to deal with it. And so, if the end user doesn't want it, you've got to find a home for it. You've got to get it somewhere that it can be blended off and be able to be used. And obviously, it's going to take a lot of work to get that to be done. Now, with that being said, if that particular area, for instance, North Dakota, if you will, is not getting a lot of good number two yellow corn, then the basis for good corn is going to be quite strong, which is going to pull bushels to that part of the world. Basis will have to be strong enough to get them there. And so there's just a lot that's going to go on in the cash market. The cash market's probably going to continue to do a lot of the heavy lifting. With that being said, I think if I'm a Central Illinois producer and, for instance, maybe I've got, a lot of corn in the bin, and I'm trying to figure out when I maybe want to move some of that, lock some basis in. I've got to think that basis in our part of the world is going to struggle to get significantly better considering how good it already is. Most places in our part of the world, 40 to 50 cents better than where we started harvest. And that's just a pretty darn big move already.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again in the new year.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And thank you. That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.